Welcome to Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast with Elizabeth Crawford, where I dish with trendsetters, tastemakers, and industry experts about everything from emerging trends to regulatory pressures to marketing strategies. Nearly one-third of Americans are self-described health-conscious snackers, according to new research by YouGov, which also found 35% of healthy snackers are willing to spend more than $50 on snacks each month. This is up from 3 years ago when YouGov found only 28% of Americans consider themselves healthy snackers and only 26% were willing to spend more than $50 on snacks monthly. While nearly three-quarters of these snackers seek out fruits and vegetables in between meals, YouGov found that a significant portion still want to indulge in chips, cookies, ice cream, and candy bars, underscoring a significant market potential for brands that offer better-for-you and diet-specific versions of classic snacks. At Natural Products Expo West in Anaheim last month, many brands and ingredient suppliers rose to meet the rising demand for healthy and yet indulgent snacks, including newcomer rivals, fast-growing snack powerhouse Our Home, and established brands Kind Snacks, Wasa, and My Mochi, all of which share their innovations and insights in this episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast. I also caught up with California's Farmers Rice Cooperative, which launched an innovation arm at the trade show called Exedient Foods to help meet demand for gluten-free snacks. So according to Mondelez's recently released Fifth State of Snacking report, 69% of consumers report paying more attention to the nutritional value of snacks, and 70% report paying more attention to ingredients that they believe are beneficial for them. The report also found plant-based snacking on the rise, with 54% of consumers making an effort to eat more plant-based snacks, and 57% looking to eat less meat, and 46% trying to cut back on dairy. Stuffed snack startup Rivals is checking all of those boxes, according to CEO Peter Barrick, who explained that the young brand offers consumers plant-based, salty snacks with nutritional value that consumers want, but also with nostalgic flavor profiles that they crave, and at a price point that they can afford.
What we're trying to do at Rival is provide great-tasting, affordable nutrition to the markets worldwide with snacks that taste better, feel better, and do better. And one of the biggest problems facing the salty snack category is a 50-year pandemic brought by big food, which is malnutrition, diabetes, and obesity. And with every bag sold of Rivals, we have a chance of rolling back that pandemic. And so what is the snack, right? It's a vegetable-based, crunchy outer shell with a nutrient-dense soft filling packed with flavor. It comes with three exciting SKUs, late-night pizza, extra cheddar mac and cheese, and spicy street taco. But most importantly, it's protein-packed. So it's made from pea, brown rice protein, oven-baked, not fried, with 8 grams of protein, 4 grams of fiber, 9 net carbs. So we're highly differentiated in the salty snack category where cheap carbohydrates are pervasive, right, which leads to some of those health problems. So we have figured out how to extrude high protein, high fiber, low carbohydrates. We know how to do it. No one else does. And so we're actually bringing together great taste and nutrition. And we see ourselves as the next evolution in the salty snack market. You got legacy brands that are undeniably delicious, but they're built on fat, salt, carbs. You have leading functional brands that are noble and that they're bringing better source ingredients and lifestyle certifications. But we ask the fundamental question, just because you have better source ingredients, does that mean you're nutritious? Unfortunately, the answer is no. So we're that next evolution. We're in a position to revolutionize the salty snack category, move it away from empty calories and towards delicious next level nutrition. We also have 7 essential vitamins and minerals. We have 34% less sodium than Doritos, 60% less sodium than pretzel stuffed snacks or dual extrusion snacks. So we're by far, in our opinion, top of the category when it comes to nutrition. We're a great value proposition to the consumer. If you look at our price per gram of protein, for instance, we sell our bag at $4.99 for 6 ounces at retail. It comes into 83 cents an ounce, or 8 grams per protein per ounce. that means we're 10 cents per gram of protein. We're one of the most affordable brands in terms of protein on the market today in the salty snack category. So to give you an example, Hippies is 25 cents per gram of protein, Doritos is 30 cents. Yeah, so the same holds true for fiber, right? We're 20 cents per gram of fiber, Hippies as an example is 33 cents, and Cheetos is 60 cents. So every calorie counts in a bag of Rivals, right? So it's not cheap carbohydrates. It's protein and fiber, the building blocks of metabolic.
For many consumers, healthy snacking is not just about products' nutritional profiles, but also how they're consumed, a trend that industry veteran Vasa is leaning into with a marketing campaign that focuses on creating mindful snacking moments with its crisp breads. Vasa associate brand manager Lane Hillsland explains how the more than 100-year-old company is appealing to modern consumers with a lifestyle marketing campaign that focuses on the crisp bread's simple ingredients and versatile use for intentional snackers.
We've been around since 1919, and it's very big in Europe, Sweden, a lot of Nordic countries. They mostly eat it like for breakfast. It is, I like to say, a cross between bread and a cracker. So bread, you would put it in a toaster, something like that. And then a cracker is obviously, you think of something smaller. A crisp bread is right down the middle, like in between them. So we see in the U.S. at least that people do use it for breakfast, but Americans are much more snacky. So we have been seeing a lot more Vasa users eating it as snacks, whether they break it up and, you know, dip it, or they use it as like a mini meal in between morning and breakfast and lunch. We see the different uses of cages than our Swedish counterparts. I'd say in America, we're seeing a lot of it, like different snacking occasions. It's not so much breakfast, lunch, and dinner anymore, right? Snacking is much more a part of the American culture than I'd say a lot of other cultures, especially Sweden. So how Vasa can be there for that consumer is that our messaging is literally about versatility and that you can use it for anything you want. We're showcasing today two savory samples and two sweet samples, and some people come by and they're like, I've never even thought about using it for a sweet recipe, or like you can use them as croutons in a salad or as a topper for your soup as well. So it's literally about trying to take that and make it the most versatile thing you can do with it. And I feel like that's what consumers are leaning towards, is I'm not just sticking to my eggs breakfast now, but I might have something, a little mini meal in the morning, and then I might have a Vasa and avocado at 10 a.m. So we're seeing the consumer try out different things at different times of the day and keep their metabolism going. So self-care is big with Vasa because Vasa, like I said, it's not quite a cracker, where as a cracker, you might think it's kind of like mindless eating sometimes, or, you know, your chips, you put your hand in the bag and you just keep getting more. Vasa is much more about intentionality. We recommend always having a buddy with your Vasa, always having a peanut butter or a hummus, whatever it is. And it's much more about going into the kitchen thinking, what am I going to do with this? I can make it as simple as I want. I heard someone today say they love Vasa and they just put butter on it. That's their thing. And other people that go with like the full-on avocado spread. And so it's much more about like taking time to say, like, what do I want on my Vasa today, and how am I going to make this a moment for myself?
Hillsland notes that modern snackers also want more with less, which means they're looking for short, familiar lists of ingredients that also offer functional benefits.
Someone came up to me earlier and was saying, like, I love Vasa because, like, you only have, you know, this amount of ingredients, and that's kind of we can't say, like, each one has an exact amount of ingredients because some of them vary per, but they're generally all less than 10 ingredients. And we say it starts from simple ingredients. It starts from rye, wheat, flour, yeast, like, that's what you're getting. It's very Nordic. And it starts from there, and then we can grow it beyond that. So we have a sourdough flavor, and we have like a gluten-free as well that, you know, can twist and turn a little bit. But we're always staying true to what Vasa is, and it's that we're not making up and we're not getting too far out of the way, that it is a great, it's a bread replacement for those that are looking for that type of fibrous nutrition. A lot of them have a great fiber. I think our multigrain account, like one serving is like 14% of your fiber intake or your daily fiber intake. So we do hear a lot of people saying that they use it for that reason. And so I think vata, still with its historical roots and how it is now, and it's kind of like coming full circle back around where people are wanting more out of their snacks, which they can with vata to make it anything they want. But then it's still staying true to the less is more tenet of what we're seeing at Expo West as well. It's like people don't want all of the artificials thrown in there. They want just like clean Swedish nature wrapped up in a crisp bread.
Just as important to consumers as what's in their snacks is what's not. And increasingly, Americans want low or no added sugar options, which industry veteran Kind Snacks is meeting with the launch this year of its zero added sugar line of bars and the return of its savory bars. Kind Snacks Senior Director of Communication and Brand Purpose, Soojin Kim, explained Kind was able to reduce the sugar in some of its bars by using allulose or by leaning on salty spices for different flavor profiles.
I think this one is a story around hearing from consumers over and over and over again, or a subset of consumers that wanted fewer net carbs, less added sugar. It's just our direct answer to that. It's everything you know and love about our signature nut bars, with zero added sugar. And it's super keto friendly, on trend, not just for that audience, but for anyone that is gravitating towards some of those macros. Allulose is what you call a rare sugar, so it was kind of the way that we actually got to the no added zero sugar. It was the ingredient that got us the sweetness that we wanted. It was the ingredient that also got us to the right texture. I'm super, super excited about these two launches. So savory, it's a story about investing in core. We need to go back to making sure that we're actually investing in bringing new flavors, textures for the product that consumers love the most. And what I think is really interesting about this one is both of these lines are directly coming out of consumer research, which is, bar buyers sometimes feel like they don't have a flavor that's best for them and their taste buds. A lot of times bar buyers feel like there's too much chocolate on the offerings, and then there's also a learning for us that's like, yeah, they just want new, they want fresh take on flavor and texture. So that's like exactly what we're delivering here. So our savory line, the roasted nuts and jalapeno, rosemary nuts and sea salt. And then we have our seeds, fruit, and nut that leverage pumpkin seed or sunflower seed as our number one ingredient. So still maintaining number one ingredient, being a nutrient dense food, and bringing a lot of like new flavors for consumers.
Kim adds that the new line of savory bars are a different proposition from Kind's previous stab at the space with its Strong and Kind line, which included similar flavor profiles. Kim also noted the company's expanding into children's food with the launch of Kind Kids school-friendly blueberry muffin and chocolate chip bars, both of which are free from tree nuts, peanuts, and gluten.
Going big on kids. This is like the first of a platform. I don't think I've shared that with anyone else, so you're the first to hear it. And what you're seeing is what consumers know and love about our product, right? Convenience on the go. Number one ingredient is oats. And then the school-friendly piece. So this idea that you can pack this in your kids' backpack, and there's no nuts, no tree nuts, it's gluten-free, kind of all of the check marks, so to speak, that a parent's looking for. And we call the parents a gatekeeper. But yes, the gatekeeper's looking for and shopping for products that their kids actually want to eat. And then, that's exactly what we're thinking about when we're launching products like this one.
Just as Kind recognized children may need different snacks than parents, Our Home is building a portfolio of snacks around the idea that different members of the same household might need different solutions, and it wants to provide them all. Our Home Director of Marketing, Megan Osaki, explains that the company offers better-for-you options for primal cravings that she says differ slightly by generation and life stage, as does the consumer's spending power, which is why the company offers a range of brands with different personalities at different price points.
What we know is that millennials and Gen Z are more interested in looking for healthier, better for you options at an earlier phase in their life than previous generations. But I think what they're also looking for too, which, you know, we all understand it makes sense, is a value, right? So that's also something that we feel like we're uniquely positioned to deliver with a portfolio of brands, is making sure we also have brands that fit that, that can also be a value for consumers. I lead Pop Chips and You Need This. Pop Chips is really, you know, just that OG better for you potato chip brand. And it really, we know that potato chips are just this very specific snack craving. And Pop Chips really is the answer to go after and solve that craving. When you're looking for a traditional potato chip, and traditional potato chip flavors, right? So barbecue is our flagship SKU. It is the, like, one of the best performing barbecue better for you potato chips in the category. And Pop Chips also has just some really interesting, you know, iconic, multi-generational love, right? So, like, when Pop Chips launched in 2007, you know, lots of parents with young kids around that time were eating it, and now those kids are older and they're feeding it to their kids too, right? So, and it can really be enjoyed by most members of the household, of the family. You Need This is really more going after that, like, Gen Z or, like, the teenager in the household snacking occasion, right? Big, bold personality, and big, bold flavors to accompany that need, right? So this year we're launching fries. So we have a hot cheddar fry and a zesty ranch fry. And it's really going after also that, like, primal French fry craving, but, like, in a snack form that you can have at home, on the go, and also, like, feel cool eating too. And it also, you know, is really good for you, right? So all of the You Need This is plant-based. It is non-GMO Project Verified, gluten-free certified, and vegan, right? So you can hit and satisfy those cravings, but feel really good about what you're eating too.
Our Home also answers consumer demand for better-for-you snacks with crackers that have baked-in vegetables across its From the Ground Up brand and its recently acquired R.W. Garcia brand. Our Home also launched new crackers under its Food Should Taste Good brand, which Stephanie Latour of Our Home explains can serve as a base for a mini meal, which is another trend within snacking. She notes that together the three cracker brands target different consumers and usage occasions.
I would say R.W. Garcia is more of, like, the free-form cracker snacking occasion, right? We also have crackers within From the Ground Up, actually. It's our flagship SKU, our cauliflower. We actually just reformulated. That's a really exciting, that's rolling out into the marketplace now. More flavor forward, so the flavor is baked into the dough versus the topical seasoning that was previously the way the formula was created. Excited to see how the new rosemary flavor performs in the space. So, and then on the Food to Taste Good side, we're also, you know, sneak peek under the hood, we're gonna be launching in the crackers up there with three new facings. We're teasing them up here at the show. More pita based. Really excited about our new cornbread flavor, unique to the space. But all in all, the difference being between, I think, From the Ground Up and Food to Taste Good, really the snack out of the box type occasion for R.W. Garcia and From the Ground Up,
Whereas Pucci Tastes Good is more of a carrier cracker, if you will. It's serving as a platform for a topping, a dip, living on your charcuterie board, or elevated snacking experience. So although, you know, multiple brands in the portfolio are playing in the same space, each having their own unique kind of point of difference and usage occasion within the target consumer.
Consumers' focus on better-for-you snacks does not rule out indulgent options. Rather, according to Mondelez's State of Snacking report, shoppers are making space for decadent treats by adopting an everything-in-moderation approach. For example, Mondelez found 67% of snackers look for options that are portion-controlled, up 5 percentage points from last year. And 7 in 10 say they would rather have a smaller portion of an indulgent snack than a bigger portion of a low-fat or low-sugar alternative. Many consumers also turn to snacking for fun, with 3/4 of those surveyed by Mondelez noting that novelty of the flavor and texture combination are important when choosing a snack. Novelty ice cream brand My Mochi meets these desires by offering bite-sized frozen treats that are simultaneously chewy and creamy, and which My Mochi Chief Marketing Officer Bridget Wolf says comes in a range of flavors and textures for different diets and lifestyles. She also notes the brand is expanding into new day parts and usage occasions with new waffle bites, which, like the mochi, are portion-controlled, gluten-free, and convenient.
So My Mochi actually is the original in North America and the U.S. Our founder was a Japanese baker. Family was an immigrant, so they had a lot of history in mochi. Mochi itself comes from rice flour, Japanese sweet rice flour that they pound actually in Japan for good luck. They say that pounding is good luck. It typically is a shelf-stable treat. Her husband was American, so we had a fusion of cultures. Why can't you put ice cream into the mochi dough? And that's where mochi ice cream became. So a lot of Americans think mochi is actually only mochi ice cream, but it's not. It's this really pliable dough and canvas that we can play with and add flavors and gives a unique sweetness and a texture. You get this doughy, chewy outside with this creamy ice cream on the inside. So that's one piece of the experience about how do you have textural difference. And what we've been playing with is how do we kind of up the ante there on a textural piece. So we've had chocolate chips in the past, and this year we started bringing kind of a bake shop concept. So we know consumers are interested in celebratory flavors and in nostalgia. Cookie dough ice cream, you can never go wrong. So we started with our cookie dough ice cream that has real chunks of cookie dough in that to kind of get that triple layer. So that's a genre of innovation and flavors that you'll see more about, those interesting inclusions that we'll keep bringing. And then the other flavors are things like birthday cake, which is our cake batter here with sprinkles in it. So really fun flavors that bring great indulgence, but in the palm of your hands and portion control. And then the latest that we're bringing, we're really excited in May to be launching, are our sorbets. And so about consumers, we also know that fruit is of interest, and even lighter, and if I dare say even cleaner, this is dairy-free, and the way our R&D team developed this is actually a special process, so it's amazing. Our peach mango has 45 calories per mochi ball, our raspberry 70. You'll see it's like having a palate cleanser. So really unique experience within the mochi line that people can have, from a fruity, refreshing kind of cleanser thing to that creamy, indulgent bite of cookie dough and birthday cake. And what we heard, one was where mochi and My Mochi fills consumers' needs is it gives them a level of control of their sweet tooth. So what I like to say, there's a bit of a shut-off valve in this, where you don't have to keep going to scooping to the bottom of the pint or the quart, whatever your ice cream is. It really is a satisfying, chewing experience, and so you have a satiation level that you have with this, but you feel like you don't have to go have something else because you've actually had a really rich experience. And I would say that is where consumers, I think we'll always want joy and there's pleasure in eating, and we're able to do that in a portion control way, under 100 calories. And I think in some cases we give them an option to be a little bit better for you. We're not going to be the next food is medicine. I don't want to promise, but we do see where there's opportunities to enhance it. So we came out with smoothies last year, a line of blended smoothies, frozen smoothies, fruit forward, and those have been boosted with antioxidants and zinc and vitamin B and C. So there are ways that your food can do a little bit more, but still in a really luxurious experience. Well, we started the conversation about what's the history of mochi is that sweet rice flour. And that is kind of the ingredient that starts the whole mochi chain. And it's the essence of what gives you a little bit of sweetness and chew. So we have expanded into different day parts and snacking with our new waffle bites. And so these are really fun. Again, portion controlled, 5 mini bites to a bag, and then there's 5 bags to a box, under 140 calories. And they're just lightly sweetened little bites that you can enjoy with the chew. No prep needed. Just let them thaw out. Really want to put them in the microwave if you can, but they're really quite delicious as is.
By using rice flour as the base for its novelty ice cream treats and waffle bites, My Mochi is tapping into a fast-growing global gluten-free snack market, which Allied Market Research valued at $843.6 million in 2021 and projected would grow at a compound annual growth rate of 8.3% to reach $1.8 billion by 2031. To help snack makers fill the unmet potential of the gluten-free snack market, California's Farmers Rice Cooperative launched a new innovation arm and food processing solution at Expo West called Excedient, which FRC President Rick Rohde explains can help brands create a wide range of gluten-free snacks.
Excedient Foods is really the innovation arm of FRC. So, and it's interesting because over the last year and a half, we're getting calls once, twice, three times a week from customers saying, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And we weren't quite set up for that in the initially. And we just realized that, sometimes a lot of the potential customers that we have, they don't have the end idea. They're looking for help to help them find that innovative idea. And so that's where we're trying to meet our customers in the middle, is bringing innovation from whether it's gluten-free flour, rice flour, or extruded rice products or other products. Excedient, actually, it's a concatenation between exceed and ingredient. So the idea is to exceed our customers' expectations in providing, gluten-free, healthy ingredients. We're really focused on the ingredient side of the business. We, right at this moment, we're not really looking at retail and branded products, but more how can we help the folks that are utilizing these ingredients to make healthy snacks, right? It seems like if you go into the store and you pick up almost any breakfast bar or snack items, many times it's brown rice flour that's one of the top ingredients in them. And so with our flour processing facility that we're building, it will be state-of-the-art. It will be able to do brown rice flour or regular rice flour or, like I said, other gluten-free grains. We hired a rice flour expert who has been leading the project for the last few years. And actually, we are very close to having the rice flour operation being completely built. It'll be finished by the end of this month. We'll be testing in April. And then by May, we should be up and running and offering products. The co-op is vertically integrated. Our growers are the members and owners of our all of our processing facilities, our drying and storage facilities. And so from the field all the way to the consumer, we pretty much control all the various processes that are involved. And just a little background on the actual processing of rice. When it comes out of the field, it has a husk, bran layer, and then you have white rice. So if we're producing brown rice, we just take the husk off and clean up the rice and put it in a bag and sell it. But if we're making milled rice, which obviously most sushi is milled rice, white rice, then we also we have a process that kind of polishes the bran layer off, and you have milled white rice. In that process, you tend to break up some rice as well. Historically, we would always sell those brokens to other other processors that would then make that into flour, rice flour. But a few years ago, we started looking into the possibilities of us creating our own rice flour. And then 4 years ago, we acquired another rice milling facility called Pacific International Rice Mills in Woodland. We affectionately refer to it as PERMI, the acronym. With that acquisition, it was a rice milling operation like we were used to, that like what we do as a rice cooperative. But they also had another facility, an extrusion facility, small extrusion facility. So they were buying rice flour from flour processors, and then through the extrusion process, creating products like rice panko, which is a gluten-free panko, rice puffs, crisps, various rice balls. Think of like a cheese ball, like, you know, or pirate booty, something, you know, but rice-based. And that was kind of new business to us. And so we took our time over the last couple of years and really tried to better understand it, understand our markets, our customers. And that's when it all came together that, yes, we could really build a state-of-the-art rice flour operation and start to create our own rice flour from our brokens. So I think that's just kind of the story of the co-op, is we're always looking to be in control of all the value-add processes up and down the value chain.
As illustrated by the vast array of snacks exhibiting at Expo West and consumers' evolving dietary preferences, the opportunities in the space are near endless. But for those looking to learn more about where snacking trends are headed in the U.S., check out Mondelez's fifth State of Snacking report at mondelezinternational.com or the YouGov research at business.yougov.com. With that, we've reached the end of another episode of Food Navigator USA's Soup to Nuts podcast. I hope that you'll join me again for another installment. And to help you remember, I encourage you to subscribe. Until next time, this is Elizabeth Crawford wishing you a productive, profitable, and safe week.